Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News. For March 29th, 2015, I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker. LA City Attorney Mike Fuhr is suing a Hawaiian Gardens hospital for alleged patient dumping. The lawsuit charges that a woman diagnosed with schizophrenia was abandoned last September on Skid Row without following proper discharge protocol, a practice Fuhr called inconceivable and unconscionable. Ani Ucard joins us in the studio to talk about this case. Welcome, Ani.
Thank you.
So can you elaborate on what exactly happened to this woman?
So the lawsuit claims that the woman was found in Skid Row in front of the Union Mission rescue shelter, and she had been found allegedly with just hospital paper tops and bottoms on, no identification, no money, no, just completely bare bones, basically, and that she had been discharged improperly. So hospitals have to, by state regulation, have to properly release these patients with some sort of game plan afterwards. And I guess she had been released with none of that set in place, and it had happened on multiple occasions, according to this lawsuit.
Wow. What kind of action or reparations does Fuhr want to see?
So he is just wanting to see proper protocol followed based off the California state regulations. So hospitals are supposed to set up a either a shelter, some sort of arrangement with shelters for these mentally ill patients to make sure that they have a place to go afterwards. And definitely not what was alleged to have happened as far as just dumping them on the sidewalk and telling them, figure it out.
And I understand we have a clip here, too.
Mm-hmm. Clearly a very sick individual, someone who couldn't care for herself, unaware that she was in danger. Unaware that she is as sick as she is, someone dependent on someone else that knows better. Just cruel. Cruel to find her unable to communicate, covered in her own waste, flies, ants. Just cruel altogether to find her that way.
Thank you, Ani.
Thank you.
The suspect who has been inappropriately touching women around University Park over the past 2 months has been identified and arrested. Rania Aniftos has more.
For several weeks, women have reported being inappropriately touched by a man who then immediately runs away. The suspect earned the nickname Butt Slapper. This morning, LAPD arrested a man suspected of these sexual battery cases in the USC area. USC's Department of Public Safety sent a school-wide email saying that Javier Cardosa is charged with 12 counts of sexual battery. Here's DPS Deputy David Carlisle.
We're confident that this is the suspect responsible, and he's made some admissions or confessed to LAPD, so we think this is the person.
Carlisle says USC has been a safer campus in recent years, but students should still remain aware of their surroundings.
What we ask is, in spite of declines in crime, that students take reasonable precautions in being smart about your behavior, and working together, we can reduce crime further.
Cardosa is in custody and an arraignment date is still pending. Rania Aniftos, Annenberg Radio News.
A preliminary hearing is going on right now for one of the men charged with the murder of a USC graduate student. Andrew Garcia is one of four men accused of killing Shinran Ji. A judge has already ruled that teenagers Alejandro Guerrero, Alberto Ochoa, and Jonathan Del Carmen should stand trial in May on charges that they chased down G, tried to rob him, and then assaulted him with a bat and a wrench. G managed to crawl home but died in his bed that night. Garcia is accused of being in a car nearby. There are questions about his mental competency, and his hearing will continue through tomorrow. A new report about Hawthorne's mayor has some residents calling for his resignation. Casey Tamkin tells us why.
Hawthorne Mayor Chris Brown is facing accusations that he used the city's money for personal debts and travel. Sandy Mazza, a reporter for the Daily Breeze, first uncovered the mayor's questionable expenses 3 weeks ago.
I submitted a Public Information Act for his expense records. When I went over the expense records, I saw what then I reported in the article.
Mazza reported Brown has taken 30 trips around the country, spending more than $20,000. He has also failed to pay his rent at two homes, resulting in two separate evictions. When elected as Hawthorne's youngest and first African-American mayor in 2013, Brown promised an end to backdoor politics. Some Hawthorne residents and two council members are now calling for Brown's resignation. Brown did not show up at last night's council meeting, and when we called the mayor's office, they hung up on us. Casey Tamkin, Annenberg Radio News.
23 years ago today, Los Angeles erupted after white police officers were acquitted of assaulting Rodney King, a black motorist. There were 6 days of rioting in 1992. 53 people died, 2,000 were injured, and the city was left with $1 billion worth of damage. But today is a new start for One South Los Angeles Corner. Megan Coyle reports.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
South Los Angeles community leaders broke ground for a shopping center in a lot destroyed by the Rodney King riots. The lot at the corner of Vermont and Manchester Avenues has stood empty for 23 years. William Scott is LAPD Deputy Chief of the South Bureau.
I was working that night when this city was on fire, and it is so refreshing for me and people like me and many of you that lived through that to go full circle and basically really have a rebirth of this community.
The shopping center will be 190,000 square feet and cost about $200 million to build. District 8 City Councilman Bernard Parks hopes to see it spur new economic growth in the region.
We all have to make a commitment to come here, spend our money, because it can't survive unless you spend your money in your community.
The restaurants, grocery, and retail stores at the Vermont Entertainment Village are expected to open in winter 2016. Megan Coyle, Annenberg Radio News.
Protests about minimum wage increases continued downtown today, this time involving fasting by female workers. Morgan Greenwald has the story.
After 2 weeks of fasting outside of City Hall, more than a dozen women stormed inside the LA City Council meeting today in an ongoing fight for minimum wage increases. The women are members of a campaign launched by the Service Employees International Union, which is petitioning lawmakers to raise minimum wage to $15 per hour. According to Gilda Valdez, the campaign's president, more than 48% of workers in Los Angeles work for less than $15 an hour, and two-thirds of those workers are women. The women also met with Mayor Eric Garcetti today, who supports raising the minimum wage to $13.25 per hour. New supporters, like USC student Jenny Viejas, fasted today in solidarity for wage increases.
I think it's definitely built the momentum of the movement. It's brought a lot of more community organizations to come in solidarity. Just this morning, the mayor came and spoke to the women, so we know that City Council's been listening. So I definitely think that this is a huge step for the movement.
Even after the fast ends tomorrow, many women say they will continue to work with government officials in California to increase the state's minimum wage. Morgan Greenwald, Annenberg Radio News.
Sports Minute
with Max Holm.
Once again, the LA sports world is dominated this week by the Clippers' quest to get out of the first round of the playoffs, but last night has the situation looking very bleak. Over the course of crucial minutes in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul was controversially teed up, Blake Griffin got stuffed by Tim Duncan at the rim, and DeAndre Jordan tapped in a Griffin floater that was lying on the rim and probably would have gone into the basket. That floater would have given the Clippers the lead late in the game, and now they face a 3-2 hole heading back to San Antonio. What's let the Clippers down the most in two of their three losses in this series has been mistakes and fatigue down the stretch. The play of the Clippers' most important players, Jordan and Griffin, well, besides Chris Paul, in the fourth quarter is that they look like players who are forcing the issue and are very tired. But forget all that now, because this series suddenly becomes very simple for the Clippers. It's one word, win. The Clippers' key contributors will again be playing heavy minutes and will have to be able to shake off mental and physical fatigue. The mental side of the series becomes critical now. The Spurs are going to be fully entrenched in the Clippers' heads, advantage San Antonio. But LA has to shake that off. They can't let the Spurs come out flying in front of their home crowd, because if that happens, well then, the series might as well be over. This has been the Sports Minute. Max Holm, Annenberg Radio News.
An iconic TV series has broken the mold once again. Abby Brewer tells us how.
Hulu, the video on-demand subscription website, will run 9 seasons of Seinfeld, the hit comedy show of the 90s that was famously about nothing. The Santa Monica-based company's deal with Sony Television is worth nearly $180 million. The series was set in New York and featured a group of close friends suffering from typical Big Apple angst over social faux pas and romantic lapses. And yet, the show was actually filmed in Los Angeles. Reruns of the original Seinfeld will continue on TBS, but the series will be available on Hulu in June. Abby Brewer, Annenberg Radio News.
It was a rough day on Wall Street, with the NASDAQ, Dow Jones, and S&P 500 all trading lower. Financial pundits were concerned over tepid first quarter GDP results, with the economy expanding at an anemic rate of 0.2%. For the second consecutive day, Twitter continued its downward spiral, plummeting nearly 9%. After several strong earnings reports for the San Francisco company, investors were alarmed by a leaked financial report that revealed uninspiring revenue growth. At home in Nigeria, CY is a pop star. But you've never heard of her here in Southern California, where talented musicians are countless, but fame is elusive. For CY, music isn't necessarily about fame. It's an expression of her identity, a connection to her roots. But thousands of miles from home, it's hard to keep that connection strong. Maya Williams spoke to CY to further understand her plight.
Her friends call her Cynthia, but her stage name is CY. Flashes of red streak long black braids that fall down her back. In LA, she easily could blend into an eclectic crowd. But back home in Nigeria, people know her name. Her music is played on the radio, and she performs in front of huge crowds.
I was wondering the other day the ways that I could take so I can find truth, so I can find you.
She's trying to cross over that influence in the United States while maintaining what she calls her Nigerian sound.
My music is supposed to be me. It's supposed to be my thing. And part of who I am is a Nigerian. And if I'm not able to do that in my music, then, you know, it's like, what's the point?
But the first American producer she worked with didn't quite get it.
Usually, the way production works in my experience is you bring your creativity. I bring mine and we try to merge them. But this guy wouldn't leave room for my creativity. So he wouldn't leave room for those things that I identify myself with.
Elaborate, almost tribal background vocals, layers of indigenous drums.
Basically, he took all that away.
This is the song the American producer created.
I bet your mama didn't raise no lazy girl. It's become a disgrace, oh lazy girl.
That just wasn't gonna fly with me, because you're not gonna give me like a Beyonce style beat, because Beyonce is awesome, I love her, but that's not the kind of artist I am. I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. You know, it's just not me. I just feel very detached from that song.
When I met you, I heard you out. You told me that you cared. I tried to stop me. My head rang warning bells. My heart ignored. Trusted you, but you turned around and played me for a fool.
To compare, CY's song One Day, which was produced before coming to the United States, is what she calls her most ethnic-sounding song. It reminds her of her grandmother, who, for CY, embodies Nigeria's most natural authenticity.
You may bring me down.
So it's just a bunch of Nigerian proverbs that talk about karma. The first line was monkey, like actual monkey, go market, Enugu come back. That means, literally means, a monkey will go to the market and it won't return.
Channeling her Nigerian roots in music hasn't always come second nature for CY.
But I've heard from my friends back home that I tend to sound too foreign when I sing. From the Nigerian context, I tend to sound a bit too Western.
But after being in the United States for a steady 2 years now, and her initial struggle to hold on to her Nigerian sound, CY's noticed a shift in inspiration.
I'm afraid I might be transitioning away from sounds that are that ethnic, and that bothers me. It's a struggle right now to still maintain that authentic ethnic sound. The combination or the mixture of the things I've experienced become wider. There will be some movement, a shift. I'm not sure where the shift is going yet.
That's it for today and this semester. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Christian Brown is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Sean Birch. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker.